Ladies and gentlemen, the Highbury squad is back. Welcome to a post-Community Shield show and a pre-season show that is sandwiched kind of in the middle. It's not our official launch for the new season. It's a little bit of a close and a mini opening. And joining me, Super Kevin Campbell. Boom! Light the fire.
How you doing, Soph? How you doing, darling? You all right? Hey, happy birthday to you, by the way, darling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You have a nice time.
I did. I had a nice time. I am I'm very young, Casey.
Yes, you are.
Yes, but I had a great day. You know, as we get older, birthdays take on a totally different meaning, don't they? Completely different relevance.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, so we lost Amanda somehow along the way.
Listen, we'll hear her before she turns up. Don't worry about that.
All right, everyone, welcome to this is known as the Wheeling Dealing Feeling episode. All right, Casey.
Yep.
There's been a lot going on, obviously, in the summer transfer market, but also we've come off another victory, whether you want to call it a trophy or not. The Community Shield is a trophy. And correct me if I'm wrong, but did Jose Mourinho not call it a trophy in the year where he was trying to claim he had won like the double or the quadruple or something?
Of course. He called it a trophy when it suited him, and then he kind of pied it off when he didn't win. So, hey, listen, if there's silverware after the game, it's a trophy, and we won it.
Exactly. Okay, so here we are. The Highbury squad has some announcements to make at the end of the show. We want to thank everyone who's joining us. And, of course, a lot of our listeners who are very busy and working get to listen to this on replay. We get a lot of post questions afterwards and stuff like that. So we'll definitely get to those. But, Casey, I really wanted to start off by talking because we haven't had the opportunity to talk about Arteta since the Community Shield. And as we're going into this evolutionary period for Arsenal, I think one of the main things is, from a player point of view, you're in a team that's been crap all year, right?
Yeah.
You're in a team that struggled all year. You're trying to find your self-esteem, your confidence. You switch managers. New manager comes in. We had a conversation on this show talking about how uncoachable the Arsenal players were. And here we found ourselves during Project Restart, where we've beaten Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, and Liverpool twice. Talk me through a little bit about how that's happened and the impact that someone like Arteta has had on this team. Oh, look who's here, Casey.
Sorry. I couldn't log on.
No problem. Anyway, it's my question.
Join in the conversation. Keep quiet for now.
What's the question?
You'll see. So how do we go from broken, uncoachable, to beating those top teams and winning the FA Cup and then doing it all over again against Liverpool in the Community Shield? How?
Right. It's all down to the manager. One thing the manager has to do, we said that the players were uncoachable. I was on it. They were uncoachable. They weren't coachable in the end for Arsene Wenger. They weren't coachable for Unai Emery. Freddie Ljungberg struggled to motivate these guys. Let's be brutally honest. But Mikel Arteta, he's got a different outlook. One thing he done, he wins the man first. He wins the player, the man.
What do you mean by that, Casey?
So I'm going to explain. So forget the football for a second. Mm. Man to man. He speaks to them and he gets them on side. So whatever he does in the background, whatever he has to say to the players, etc., he wins the man first. And that is the key to everything. If you win the man first, the same old adage comes out. You know when you say they'll run through a brick wall for the manager, they're playing for the manager, all that. You do not get that from players unless the manager has won the player, won the man over. So Mikel Arteta comes in and he speaks to the squad and he speaks to them one by one and as a group, a collective. And there seems to be a belief in what he's saying to the players. So all of a sudden, you're getting players who, let's be honest, the form was so poor previously, all of a sudden turning up, showing signs of life. Granit Xhaka, for instance. You know, the Granit Xhaka before Arteta came to the Granit Xhaka that we're seeing kind of now is two different players. If we're honest, they're two different players. We've seen improvement in Mustafi. We've seen improvement in virtually every single player. Okay? Now, what we do know is since the COVID hit, there was still some working out to do because if you remember rightly, we went to Manchester City at the restart. And you know what? It was kind of funny because I was thinking Arsenal done all right in the first half. And then obviously there was an injury. David Luiz came on, made a mistake. And that kind of put us on the back foot. And we ended up getting tonked 3-0. It could have been 6. But do you know what? For 40-odd minutes, we've done all right. So everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong in that game. But Mikel Arteta learned something about the boys. He learned that they were happy to compete. And when you know that the team are happy to compete, you've got a foundation to go from. So it moved on. We went. We lost Leno, didn't we? And Martinez came in and all that kind of thing. And obviously got beat by Brighton. And it was all doom and gloom. But Arteta stuck to the plan. He disciplined Guendouzi, which was much needed. Mesut Ozil never saw the pitch again, which we could argue. We could argue whether it was the right or wrong thing. But Mikel Arteta has been proven to be right on both occasions because he knows what's going on in that club. And for Mesut Ozil not to get on the pitch, for Guendouzi to be moved aside, it's for a reason. And the reason was harmony. And he's got the harmony going in the boys. And let's be honest, the performance against Manchester City was sensational at Wembley. And then to go on and win the trophy against Chelsea after going a goal behind just showed the real character that these players do have. They actually do have the character that we've questioned. Whether they're actually good enough to take it in a long season, I question that. And I'm sure, you know, we're gonna deal with that on the wheeling and dealing feeling. But Mikel Arteta must take all the plaudits with his backroom staff for getting in the players' heads and moving them forward and getting silverware, because winning is a habit and losing is a habit, and we're getting that winning habit back slowly but surely.
I think that's a fantastic summary. And as Neil said, I think we've all forgotten about those first two games, Casey, and how we did have to overcome some adversity still, and that it was still in the infancy of him inheriting this team, and then COVID hit, and then he's like, loses his players to quarantine. The world goes crazy.
Well, Sophie, don't forget, Mikel Arteta got COVID.
Yes.
He got COVID. And you know, if you listen to what he says the players have to learn to be able to suffer together.
Yes.
I don't know if you've heard him. He keeps saying that. And that is so true. Because you know what? When it comes to for time for getting your lumps, you've got to get your lumps and take it and bounce back. It's how you recover from it. And he seems to be big on that. And he's saying to the lads, look, you know, there might be times where we get hurt, but we have to keep going. And he seems to be winning these guys over. And I think they're kind of not fully over the bridge yet, but they're getting there.
Right. And I think what's happening, Amanda, and why players are buying into Mikel is, and Casey can attest to this after, you got to believe in what the manager is saying. When you're a grown man and you're a warrior and you're a fighter and you're putting your body on the line every single week on the pitch, your health, you know, mentally, physically, you're giving it all. It's one of those, I will follow him to the end of the earth feelings, right? And clearly we had that a little bit at the beginning with Emery. I think everyone kind of just rode that 23, 22 unbeaten record wave. But then when it came to the fundamentals and actually having to manage a season, manage competitions, manage men, right? it is not that easy. And so for me, what I've seen is in a short space of time, which blows my mind, is one of the things that Arsenal have needed more than any other club that has been fighting for that top four. And that is a new DNA, a new culture, and a new way of thinking. Kind of going back to the beginning of the Wenger years, the George Graham happy years, where you have someone who comes in and he's a leader of men. And I don't care what anyone says about today's world. I'm not being PC. I'm a woman. I love it all and everything. But I'm saying to have a man that comes in who is a leader of men. And it seems like Arteta has that DNA, which is now translating, Amanda, into Arsenal's new wave DNA.
Well, at the end of the day, they want to play for him. They go to the ends of the earth for him. You can tell that. They don't stop fighting, which is what we didn't have before. That's the difference. We've got the fight. You now go into a match and you actually think, well, we've got a chance. Well, months ago, we were like, are we even going to turn up? I now actually believe that we're actually going to turn up and we've got a chance. Did I think we'd beat City and Chelsea? No, I didn't. I didn't think we'd have the strength and the power to do it. But, oh, my God, I was so wrong. And you two said that we would beat City. And to be fair, so did my dad, who is the most negative fan you'll ever meet. He actually said we will beat them today. And I'm like, why has everyone gone mental? But, no, I was wrong. And what I will say is, and I'll say this again, he gets it. Arteta gets it.
When, what do you mean by that?
He gets us. He gets it.
The club. And
yes, everything. Look, you look at Jurgen Klopp, and I've got Liverpool friends that say Klopp gets it. Yeah, he gets everything about the city, the team, the fans, everything. They love him. We love Arteta. Now, I've had people tweet me this week and go, yeah, I was wrong, Amanda. I didn't want him to come. I didn't think he'd be good enough. That's fine. And, you know, people are entitled to change their opinions on things. That's the beauty of football. We all change our opinion on things, especially you, Sophie, on Ainsley Maitland-Niles. See, I had to do it a few years ago and I was not happy with Monreal and I had to come on and say it. But you are allowed to change your opinion. There is no problem with anyone in football changing their opinion on anything.
Right, you can change yours on Ozil, right, anytime now.
I didn't want Ozil to go. Now he has to go. So I'd love him to leave. Unfortunately, I didn't want him to, but he has to go. He has to go for the sake of the team. No one's bigger than the team. And I think Gabriel, and I can't say his surname. Now there's a shock. Is it Magalhães or Margulies or
Magalhães?
Magalhães. See, who knows? I'm going to call him Gabriel. He said it all, didn't he? He basically wanted to come because of Arteta and what Arteta said to him. I am so excited about Arteta. I can't even begin to tell you. The fact that COVID has stopped us going to games has driven me insane. And I need to talk about the cup final, just a little bit.
But look what James says about what you're saying. Not having fans present has helped Arsenal and Arteta as well.
I think maybe at the beginning it might have done, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think now we would boost it. I really do believe it. And James, as much as I love James and I know him very well, I don't agree that every fan, because I wasn't like that, you know. It wasn't easy, but I feel that the fans would be the 12th man now. I do believe that. But I would like to say that. And I probably, like, I don't know, I just felt so sad on FA Cup day. The only time I've ever missed an FA Cup in my lifetime was because I was pregnant and giving birth the next month. So I couldn't go.
No,
I wasn't allowed to,
Amanda,
go. I know,
but no,
it was 3 weeks before I was due and I couldn't. I wasn't. And I think, if I'm right, it was in Cardiff. I can't remember. Definitely couldn't go. But it's the only one I've ever missed. And honestly, I felt such different emotion that day. One part of me was like really excited and, oh, I hope we don't get trounced by Chelsea. And the other part of me was, I don't want to watch it. I got the ump. I can't be there. I can't believe this. Cup final day. I can't believe this. I've got friends in Chelsea as well. And I'm not the only one that felt like that. Everybody would have felt like that who goes to matches and stuff. And It's been so, in a funny way, heartbreaking. And then when they won it, and it was amazing, yeah, but we weren't there. And it must have been so weird for the players, because they would have run around the Wembley pitch with the cup. We would, they'd have gone to all the fans, and they didn't do it because there's no one there. And I just felt so, I felt elated but sad, you know. And, of course, it is because of what's going on, and I'm just truly gutted that we've missed that. But then we moved to the Charity Shield, which only came a couple of weeks later, and it was a very strange thing because, as you know, I've got a lot of friends in Liverpool. They would have all come down. I'd have seen them all, and we'd have all gone out, and it would have been a fantastic day because it's not a trophy. It's just the beginning to the season. But when we got on that pitch, I wasn't stressed once. I really enjoyed it. And then we got to the penalties. I started to become really stressed and I really wanted to win it. I really wanted to win the Charity Shield. It was like, oh no, we owe them for penalties in the League Cup because we should have won up there in the League Cup. And I got really into it. I was like really getting stressed. I was like, oh my God. We've got... And then I think, do you know what? As I said.
Shirley's probably taking a deep breath right now.
Shirley's probably going, take a breath, Amanda.
Yeah, take a breath.
But. If you get it, as I've said before, you get it. Being a football fan is wonder. It is a roller coaster of emotions of every club, everything. I was only talking about this the other day, and I'm going to shut up in a second. The sliding doors moment for Arsenal and United when Bergkamp missed that penalty. If Bergkamp doesn't miss that penalty, we win the double. He misses the penalty. And United win the treble. That split second of elation and devastation, in a way, is only can understand if you are a football fan. Other people just look at me and go, there's worse things going on. And I'm like, I understand. But if you don't get it, there's no point. Because the passion, as you said before, Soph, in an earlier chat, is from the soul. And my soul was so upset watching our boys celebrate on the pitch with no fans there.
Amanda, Sophie, that's can I just say, can yes. I just say something? Amanda, you make a really good point. And I just want to, from a player's perspective, there ain't many opportunities that you really get a chance to connect with the fans with a trophy. Mm. Because winning something, you get there's an automatic connection when you're in a stadium with a fan base. We missed that opportunity at the FA Cup. And the Charity Shield. But obviously, watching it from afar, obviously, you're proud of the boys and all that. But that is a key component for the Emirates when the fans come back.
Yeah.
That, you know, that winning together, that togetherness, that feeling. I think that's so, so important. And unfortunately, we've been robbed of it because of the protocol of this beer flu.
But you could also... But you could also say that we have benefited from removing the fans from some of that toxicity that we saw in this last season.
I don't think there's as much toxicity as you're thinking, and I know what James said.
No, but there was the Xhaka incident was this season.
That wasn't with Arteta.
No, that was with Emery. But I'm saying he inherited all of that toxicity. And yeah, but Arsenal fans, still, there are some Arsenal fans out there that don't believe in Arteta. All right? So you have to look at it in the sense that I agree that I think we've benefited from fans not being at the Emirates.
Maybe at the beginning of the coming back from lockdown, but No, because I tell you how I feel. I feel like we're quarantining from the players. And the minute we get back, I just want to go and hug them all on the pitch because I miss them so much. I miss going so much. And I know people have got season tickets and go away games and everything. We all feel the same. Every fan up and down the country, I think, feels like that. But I don't think the toxicity's there. I think Arteta's walked in and went, you listen to what I say or you're out. And I love that. He is a mini George Graham for me. He really is. And you know what I love? Every time you see him, even when we've lost, he is just, how can I put, I don't know what word I'm trying to say. He's so commanding. you know, I'm sort of like under his spell a little bit now. Where
he's
Emery,
in charge,
I wasn't.
Isn't he? He's in charge.
Yeah, he's in charge. I feel like the players respect him, which is very important. I feel like the fans respect him. I haven't really seen many fans that don't rate Arteta, and I'm not sure you can at the moment because the boys come in and won the FA Cup and he's beaten big teams. You know, I'm not sure what they want and what they expect from a team that was atrocious and were losing games left, right and centre and couldn't defend. And Kev, you did say that. You said they can't, they're not coachable. Yeah. And yeah. I always said, well, we don't know until a decent coach comes in. You know, he's getting rid of the... yeah, I know, James, and I can read that there's 100... It's not 100%, and they weren't, maybe some were, James, and I have seen that about Pep, but that's all stopped. That 100% has stopped, and I think that the more you listen to Arteta, the more he does what he intends to do on the pitch with our players.
Okay, let me jump in.
It'll go.
Go on, Soph. I know what you're going to say. Go on.
Here's where I think Arteta's going to have time, right? He's going to have time to build the new Arsenal. But what he's done in a short space of time is quite unbelievable, okay? Yeah. He's been to two finals and he's won them both. And he's won one against Chelsea and he's won one against Klopp and he'd already beaten Klopp in the league, right? And it was significant, that victory in the league, because it prevented Liverpool from having the centurion numbers, right? The lording of Liverpool. He also beat Pep, the supposed master and commander. If you rewind a little bit further, he also beat Man United, okay? He has done things with the most ridiculed, dartballed, teased, bullied team in the Premier League of any top six club in the last 20 years. We were a laughingstock. What I love, Casey, which is very George Graham, right, which is very new managers coming in, I'd rather be in Arteta's shoes going into the Arsenal season than Frank Lampard's shoes going into the Chelsea season. Call me crazy, but I'll tell you why.
Nope.
When you buy Timo Werner and Havertz, and you invest in this team, and you even
Ziyech,
who everyone's forgotten about because he came in earlier. Thiago Silva, who, by the way, if we'd have got him, we would have been absolutely ridiculed for buying a end of twilight.
A pensioner, they called him, yeah.
Exactly. What I like about what he's done, you guys, it's huge. It's massive. When we talk about coaches who buy in, players buy into them, they get the results on the pitch. Casey, I'll start with you. Two finals, two wins. Those statistics for me, I'll take those going into a new season with building what we have, because Frank Lampard, let me tell you, if he starts off poor, he'll be out of a job by November this season. There will not be any forgiveness from Chelsea.
That's right. Spending money, Sophie, as you well know, big money like that when you bring in the marquee names, you have to hit the ground running and you have to win. And if you remember at the start of the season, Frank Lampard didn't have the opportunity to buy anybody. But boy, they've opened that checkbook and they've gone wild, haven't they? They've brought in all the players that they coveted. They've brought them in. Now the pressure's on. Now is when we're going to find out how good Frank Lampard is as a manager. But you're right. I'll take Arteta. And, you know, Arteta was called a cone man by many at the start. You know, Pep Guardiola's cone man. The day he beat Pep Guardiola in the semi-final is the day that cone man
bye-bye
slur, you can put it in the bin, you could put it away. Pep didn't look the same. Pep has not been the same manager without Arteta beside him.
Do you? Okay. So I want to point this, and to anyone who's listening now or will listen in replay later, please mark this. All or Nothing, Season 4, Manchester City. There is a scene in their video room where a very similar miss that Sterling had in the Champions League final happened I can't remember if it was a Premier League game, but Sterling had a very similar miss that was magnified and projected in the Champions League, right? And he and Pep are in the room talking, Arteta and Pep, and they're having a chat and they're talking about the conversation that Sterling had had with Pep. And he says to him, he goes, "Why are you so upset?" And he said, "Because I didn't do what Mikel said."
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
At that point, he's a second assistant. Raheem Sterling is on a wave, right? Pep Guardiola's the Don. But Raheem is thinking, "I didn't do what Mikel told me to do." And I've rewound that and watched it over and over. I was going to put it on social media as well. But I think it's those details, Amanda, that we've seen the separation between what was at the beginning of the 2019 season through the Emery, what Arteta inherited, the first couple games that we came back, but then when he had time, he got his players back and he was able to coach. We've seen the results of that. And for me, in the short space of time that you've seen that, gives me hope, because I think, my goodness, what is he going to do when he has a normal season and his players at his disposal and the time that he needs to build this team?
Well, as I said, he's learned under the best, isn't he? He's learned under Pep and he's learned under Wenger. And Tracy's right. Tracy Ingham's just written in, Arteta is also attracting new signings. That is just spot on. They want to come and play for him. He's exciting. That's it. I'm just excited. I really am. I feel like I've got my Arsenal back. I know it doesn't. I know I might be being a bit forward with all this and overexcited, but I am, and I'm allowed to be. I feel we've got the right man for the job.
And there's nothing wrong with being excited, because we're in a position now that I think we wanted to be when Chelsea hired Conte, when Liverpool hired Klopp, when Man City hired Pep and Super Kev. Maybe where would we be now if Arsenal had hired Mikel when they hired Unai?
Well,
but you want to rewind, if you can, if you want to rewind.
There's something I just want to touch on that we haven't touched on in the Charity Shield. Liverpool were only missing two players.
Yep.
Look at our team. I mean, when I saw the team come out, I've got to say I was a bit worried. I've got to say.
Yeah, there was a mini meltdown on Twitter, wasn't there?
Yeah, you know, you look at the team and you think, well, I think David Luiz had only trained once. You know, some players have had one training session because of obviously the exploits that they've been through with the FA Cup, etc., and the break. But the performance that they put in, Elneny in midfield, I mean, I've never seen him perform like that before. It was like, wow. And I'm not saying, again, that he's consistent enough to take it there. But Mikel Arteta has them playing and understanding what is needed. And as you can see, he's bringing in the right type of player. We've always said, why don't they address the issues that we've had in the squad? And now Mikel Arteta and Edu and the boys are addressing them. We need Partey. Once we get Partey, I'm telling you now, we're in business. We are in business.
When you say we're in business, KC, sorry, PG, or is it GG? We'll get to that later on.
PG is PG.
But what do you mean by that, KC?
What I mean is we're in business to be a lot more consistent. Mm-hmm. Because our problem at Arsenal is we can go out and beat anybody on any given day.
Mm-hmm.
But the consistency, yeah, but the consistency back to back to back isn't there. Mm-hmm. But the moment you've got defenders, proper defenders and defenders who can run, and you've got that holding midfield player who has got the presence, he's got the size, he's got the ability to cover the ground with the technique, now we're in business. Now we are in business.
Amanda, go on, Pumpkins.
Go on. It was just a couple. I'm just reading a couple of the comments. They are. I'm really sorry, but I can't say this. Isn't Filoa Akin Kubi has nailed it for me, right? He's put, there is something about Arteta that oozes confidence and trust with his management and tactics. I also love his frankness in press conferences. Speaks like an Arsenal fan. And that's what I was trying to get at, that he gets it. He's actually the guy, I've just read his name out, has said quite a few comments that are really interesting, and I agree with him. But one of the things I would like to say is that if you don't respect your manager, you do not play for that manager. I've said it before when we were talking about Emery, and I said about my boss, if I didn't respect my boss, you don't care, do you? They didn't respect Emery. And let's go back to what you just said. Should we have had Mikel in then? I'm a big, massive believer in fate. And it wasn't the right time. Straight after Emery, there'd have been huge expectation on Arteta's shoulders. He wasn't ready. We weren't ready for him. We had to have, unfortunately, no disrespect to Emery, a stepping stone. And the stepping stone was to get to Arteta. And maybe Arteta was watching us a lot earlier much sooner than when he joins. So maybe he could see what was going on. And also this guy now on the screen, that's what I read the comment. He also said about the transformation of Xhaka. Who would even think that that was possible?
You and KC had a go at me that day on the pod where you especially Amanda,
not good enough.
Never wear the shirt ever again.
Sophie, he wasn't good enough.
No, he wasn't.
But you guys said in that incident that happened that he should never wear the shirt again when he came off and he was upset and everything. Well, Our fans had a lot to do with that.
Right. I was in the ground that day, and I don't care what anyone says.
I was as well.
You were, weren't you, Kev? Yeah. I saw exactly what happened, and I tell you now, if George Graham would have been, he wouldn't have never worn the shirt again. And I think I don't think any player would do this to Arteta, because they will not wear the shirt again. Remember, Emery wasn't in control, was he? He really wasn't in control. But I do honestly believe that there's going to be players over time that are going to want to come here because it's Arsenal, because it's Arteta. And we've missed that. We've missed that. You know, when Wenger was in charge for the first period of time, the 10 years, it was phenomenal football. And then it wasn't. Okay, whether you wanted him to stay or not, you had to admit that we were dire at times. Okay, we were lucky at times and dire. I feel with Arteta, we've got something new that... I mean, I was only, when George Graham signed, what was I, 16, 17? I didn't know what I know now.
Stop bragging.
I was 17. I can't even remember how old I was. It must have been 15, 16. What did I know at 15, 16? I just enjoyed going to watch football and booing Kev from the, I didn't ever boo you, Kev, ever.
Yeah, I heard you, Amanda. Don't you worry, TG.
He heard you.
Did he stand up? Yeah, I remember.
It wasn't me. It was Janet. I'm going to blame
Janet.
That's
what Shaggy said, it wasn't me, but it wasn't you.
Listen, I also have an alert for you, and I'm going to try, because bless him, we could call him Effie. Right.
Oh, Effie. Hello, Effie. Oh, I love that. I think it's
Isunifaloa Akinkubi.
Oh, look at her.
Hey, I'm just saying, maybe I'll get a little kudos for it. All right. Arteta, we know, and I think the majority of sensible Arsenal fans now believe in him, you guys. I think if we're looking at also a little bit of, as you know, I like to call him the teddy bear with the shotgun, because he's been very clear and concise about who stays, who goes. And we have a list. And this is not a transfer show. If you would like to listen to transfer shows, there's plenty out there that you can listen to. But we have Socrates, Torreira, Holding, Chambers, Elneny, we'll come back to him, Bellerin, Mustafi, Kolasinac, Lacazette, Maitland-Niles and Emi, right? I'll start with you, Super Kev.
No, I'll start with Amanda.
No, because right. I want to go back to something.
Because she's going to go for an hour.
No, I'm not. I just want to say something. I disagree that he's a teddy bear with a shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
Let me explain.
Messi's a teddy bear with a shotgun.
No. I tell you what, Ryan. I don't think he even needs the shotgun. I think the player's got utter respect for him. He doesn't need the shotgun.
You're misunderstanding.
I don't think he needs that.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. George Graham.
No, sorry. Right, sorry, let me explain, because you know me, I miss out a few words and it gets confusing, then I'll get slaughtered on Facebook or Twitter. What I'm trying to say is I feel like he commands the respect. End of. Just some people in life just command, like George Graham did, yeah? He didn't need the shotgun. He was the shotgun. Don't worry, carry on.
I see.
I'm with you, Soph. I'm with you. Teddy Bear with the shotgun. Trust me.
I know what I'm trying to say. Don't worry.
But I know, Amanda, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
That because of the respect that people have from you, don't mess with him.
Yeah, that's it. But, he doesn't need a shotgun.
But you still need the shotgun.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Tough decisions will be made. Yeah.
So there is a list of players. And
she's off with a list again. Go on.
Well, it's important because it's a huge list. Now, Socrates apparently is going to Napoli, Torreira to Fiorentina, Holding, there's this Leeds, loan. Newcastle loan, Chambers, dear God, is he still there? Please.
Fulham.
Thank God, just sell him. He was their best player when they got relegated. Well done. Sorry, was that bitchy? Maybe. Yep. Okay, Elneny, who was in Turkey, and Casey, you know what it's like to be. He seems to have come back a little bolder, stronger, a bit more thick skin. I think that's what playing in Turkey can do to players. So I think we would all agree, if I had the list of they've got to go, is Socrates, Torreira, Chambers, Mustafi, Kolasinac right now. Then there's this second tier, Holding. When you see him perform and have Mane in his pocket in the Community Shield, and you see what he did playing alongside Mertesacker in the 2017 final, and you see the kid step in into big moments when he's asked and he does it, I think Holding's worth holding onto, forgive the pun. The big one here for me, you guys, and as we're going, it morphs in from Arteta and who he really believes in and doesn't. Bellerin, Maitland-Niles right now. It seems like, to me, we're in the position where whoever's the highest bidder, we're willing to sell Maitland-Niles or Bellerin. And some fans will argue, will say that Cedric Soares isn't ready for that position. And I'm like, the dude won the Euros with Portugal. He's played at the highest level. He's played 100 games, I think it is, for Southampton. The dude was injured. Just relax. Take a chill pill on Cedric for now. Amanda, I'll start with you because it seems like Casey knows what you're going to say and he's already, what?
I don't even know what I'm going to say. Go on. What's the question?
Do you sell Bellerin? Do you keep Niles? To me, this is the biggest pickle of the transfer window because the rest is really easy. This one's a little bit emotionally tough and also performance obvious. What is your take on Bellerin? Is it just nonsense? Can you see him leaving? I don't think Arteta wants him to leave. Maitland-Niles made another case for himself. What's going to happen at that right back position? Right back, wing back, do what you want.
I might not be liked for saying this, but I'm not fussed whether he stays or goes. If I'm honest, I know it's very controversial. Wait,
which one?
I feel Bellerin probably wants to go, and I don't want anyone that doesn't want to play for the team, I'm afraid. I feel that Arteta knows what he wants. I don't know if he wants Bellerin to stay or not. You know, he obviously definitely wants Aubameyang to stay. We all do. But with Bellerin, there's not been much around. All we've heard is that he wants to have a new challenge somewhere, or he wants to go somewhere. Since he's come back, we do need to give him time. But is he going to be the same as he was? I don't think
he is. When you say he's going to be the same as he was pre-last injury?
Yeah, yeah. When, you know, I
always... When was the last time Bellerin was great?
Well, there's my point. So I wouldn't be distraught if he goes. I'd be upset because I like him as a player. I like him as a, you know, as a human as well. He's a great human. But
why? Because he plants trees.
Because he's got a lot of humanity about him. And what is nothing wrong with planting trees?
Wears funky woke outfits.
Woo, so what? That. So what? Let him be who he is, and I love that. But what I want to say,
responding to you, I mean,
but I don't think
he's a fashionista than a defender, isn't he?
I wouldn't be distraught if he goes where Maitland-Niles. I tell you something, I'd be really upset if he went. But then Kevin, I've always sort of championed him a little bit. What I'd like to say about all the players coming through, Saka made an instant impact, didn't he? Day one. And he has been consistent. Martinelli was great and then obviously got an injury and then we haven't really seen much of him. We've got some great talent coming through. If Bellerin wants to go, then so be it.
If he wants to go, there's cover, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's cover. There's enough cover. Maitland-Niles could play either side.
Yeah.
Depending on how.
So can Cedric, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, it works for us. It's not the end of the world if Bellerin gets sold. But I think what we got to be ruthless about, and we've said this often, Mikel Arteta has to be ruthless to get the players in that he knows he needs. Now, if it's Bellerin that has to be sold to part fund the Partey deal, that's what he has to do, because we've got players who can play right back. We've got players who can play right back just as well as Bellerin, I think. So it's not as if to say Bellerin's the best right back in the world, because he's not.
Do you think, when we talk about value for money, right? Because I think the deal we all agree is that in that centre of midfield, right? Now, we're talking about Ceballos signing on and coming back. And we're also talking about the fact that we still definitely want Partey. And it seems like Bellerin and Torreira and Niles, but I think it's safe to say that he's staying now. Bellerin and Torreira feel like the high ticket item, right? Mm-hmm. So Bellerin, we could maybe get 30, 35. Remember what we sold Iwobi for to Everton. People keep mm-hmm. talking about how we sell players undervalued, but at the same time, I think we look at that and it's one of the greatest transfers of all time in Arsenal history, the fact that we're able to get that money out of Everton for Iwobi. So it seems to me if we want to attract the Aurs of the world and if we want to attract Partey, he has a release clause that's like 45 million euros. Hmm. You can't get to that next phase. So Socrates is going to fetch you what? 6-7 million euros?
At best, but you have to take. Listen, you have to. We got to cash them in. We got to cash them in to get the right players in. And also, we've got to cash them in to get the right players in, but still be able to give the youngsters an opportunity, because we've got some fantastic youngsters who are going to develop under Mikel Arteta. And what we don't want to do is block their pathway. Let them all grow. But we've got the quality players in there for the real, real big games.
And it seems to me that we're holding on to Bellerin for emotional reasons. We love him. He's a good kid. You know, he does great things in life. He's a humanitarian. He helps. He's been a phenomenal ambassador for the club. But isn't it crazy to think that Bellerin's still only 25 years old?
Yeah.
It feels like the dude's 30 and he's been there forever. So a lot of Arsenal fans are afraid that he could be one of those players that we look at and regret. It's not going to be a Gnabry regret, but is he going to be the type of player that we sell and regret? I think in this instance, it's about selling and replenishing and revitalizing the squad in the positions that we can, because we've shown that we have backup in that position, as KC said. Okay.
As my top says.
What does it say? Ciao, baby.
Ciao.
Right.
If people want to go and they don't want to play for the club or Arteta.
Time moves on. So we've got backroom staff changes. We've got on the pitch changes. We've signed Gabriel. I think everyone's talked ad nauseam. I'm very excited about having a 6'3" and a 6'4".
Yeah.
There's boom, baby. Line them up. Ba-ba-ba-ba-bang. So when you think about whether it's going to be Niles, Cedric, or Bellerin on the right, you've got Saliba, if you want to pronounce it correctly, kids. You've got Gabriel. You also have David Luiz. You still have Pablo Mari as well. Then you've got Sopakirantini our little new Braveheart and Warrior. And then it's that middle of the park again. It seems like Xhaka is definitely going to be someone that is going to be part of Arteta's plans. You've got the Ceballos thing. Does Partey come in? And then, of course, one of the biggest things for me, and I'll actually be super upset, is still, it seems like Lacazette's Arsenal career is still up for grabs. And he could be the sacrificial lamb in terms of maybe getting Partey from Atletico Madrid. The Juventus rumours have died down a little bit since their association with Suarez. So, before we head into next season, and when you're looking at what is the one missing piece that you guys haven't seen that you want to see in this transfer window before we get to next week?
Go on, Kev.
Fight over who starts.
Well, I've said it already. I've said it, that defensive midfielder.
That's
we need to party hard. We go to party hard. Party! That's who we need. We need him in the centre of that park. Honestly, getting about that pitch, putting his foot in, being physical. Because you know what? If we get that, we'll do well next season, I tell you.
What if we don't get him, Amanda?
Well, can we just go on the fact that we might? And I don't discuss transfers. You know, I've never discussed in all my years. Let's
Amanda
wait.
Amanda hates transfer shows. That's why we've done none. We've done no transfer shows.
I got, as I always say to you, I don't listen to anything. My dad texted me and went, Gabrielle signed. And I turned on, I was at work and I went on to Arsenal Twitter to have a look. That's it. That's when I start discussing it. But can I just change it slightly? Just right.
I mean, you can jump in. You are co-host of this.
Hold on a minute. What's going on here?
No. Well, first of all, KC, we haven't mentioned the fact that it was our girl's birthday yesterday. Well, and she was 24.5 times two.
Oh, bless. Listen, can we deal with this at the end?
No, this is the end.
We're talking about football.
Yeah. No, but there's some other things I want to say as well. Oh, no,
I think you're looking at moving on. What's happening? You've got chicken waiting or someone waiting. What's happening?
No, I just like discussing players when they've either gone or they've arrived. What I just right? find it... We need Partey, and we're going to have a Partey because I think there's a big chance that can happen. We need to keep our goalkeepers. That's something we need to do. And we need to sign Aubameyang. Apart from that, I don't think we need to discuss anything else. I don't want Lacazette to go. I'd be more upset if Lacazette went than Bellerin. That's for sure. I really would. Lacazette to go. No,
if you'd love
I don't.
To hear more of this wisdom, you can follow her at GoonaGirl1969. On Twitter.
How many followers do you reckon I'll lose tonight?
He will mute her so Casey and I could talk about the future and a lot of these important items.
It's important when the season starts. When does it start?
I don't discuss transfers.
I don't.
Listen to her.
Senseless. When people ask me, I just go, don't know. What's the point in discussing it?
Mute her then, Sophie.
I'm going to mute her. I will mute her. I will. All right. Let's talk about this real quick because clearly Amanda's on a timetable. I'm not on a timetable. I'm here working.
I have had a very stressful, tiring day.
Seems like you've got flowers from someone again. I don't know what you're complaining about.
20. Oh, yeah, I got flowers last week, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yes, you
did. As a thank you, and I did that.
Right, let's. I wanted to talk about. We're all sold on Arteta. If you're not sold on Arteta, go look at yourself hard in the mirror and ask yourself why. Make a cup of tea, and then just look for Christ or Jesus and ask them. If you still don't have the answers as to why Arteta is the right man.
Oh,
for
she's ranting again.
Now, seeing as Amanda doesn't want to talk about transfers.
No, I don't.
The transfer market's not going to close until the beginning of October. So she has a small point. What is going on? And tell me what you got delivered in the mail. Because right now, there are 11 matches scheduled in September. No fan can legally watch those matches. And we're going to have a follow-up episode of this with someone from AST, our very good friend, Axe,
Come on
and talk us through this whole debacle because fans are confused. Super Kev, they're going to be looking for illegal streams. I'm going to watch more games that day than you guys are, and you're in England and I'm in America.
Always the same.
So what's happening? Where do we begin?
Well, look, this is the remnants and the aftermath of this beer flu, isn't it? So now we're going into the season. You know, we've had the restart and everything, and now we're going into a full season. And fans are going to bear the brunt. She's laughing at the beer flu, isn't she? That's what she's laughing at. The beer. You had enough of that beer last night, you. Right, listen.
No, is it a half pint Lee Judges style beer, or are we going the whole?
No, well, two halves make a pint, don't they? You know, one of them ones. That's just for Lee Judges, obviously. Half pint with the finger up, yeah. But look, the fans are suffering again. And this is the issue with if we're honest, they could have let fans in at the FA Cup final.
Yeah,
I mean, Wembley holds 80,000. You're telling me 15 to 16,000 fans of each club couldn't be in the stadium? Of course they could. They could have social distanced. They could have done all that. But it's the fans that are suffering now. We know that they're going to try and do something with a ballot system. I think Amanda mentioned it at one stage. You know, there's going to be a ballot and all that kind of thing. Again, but it's the fans that are suffering. Look, a lot of the time... people who are getting COVID now, there's people who have passed away, and it's tragic, but there seems to be the numbers, or flattening of the curve, or whatever they call it, the numbers don't seem to be doing what they were doing when we had lockdown first. So people who are getting it are recovering or going in quarantine and recovering, etc. So there should be a move to try and get the fans back. It was great to see fans in at Brighton.
Yeah, that's what Archie was saying. They did it as a test, didn't they?
Yeah, they done it as a, and it was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To see fans back in the same, social distancing and all that. But let's get fans back, because you know what? As a product, football is not the same without the fans. In the stadium, it's not. And I'm sure the players miss the fans so much.
I agree. But you know what? I mean, at least Arsenal are trying to get us back. You know, I'm a gold member, obviously not renewed a season ticket because no one has. And at least they're trying to get us back. Whatever they do, Arsenal, they can't win. They can't, because it's very hard. And, you know, we have to apply, pay some money, and then we have to apply
now. What have they said, Amanda?
It's really, you know what? It's not really confusing, but it's not easy. Okay, I go with my cousin, I sit with my cousin, so he's happy to go back. We're gonna apply, pay what we need to, and then you go on a ballot. And as you know, we were talking to someone before, we're not sure how many people have taken this up. I've seen 50-50 split on social media, where everyone's like, I'm desperate to go back, and another 50% said, I'm going to take a holiday, a football season ticket holiday, basically, and not go back till next season. Everyone's views about COVID are very different. I respect everyone's views on it, but I can't wait to go back. I don't care if it is a League Cup game. I just want to be back at the Emirates. We won't be at... we won't be in our seats, but hopefully I'll be in the East Stand at somewhere, and hopefully I'll be down sort of that block. But either way, I just want to go back. I really do. And I respect anyone that doesn't. That's up to them. But
here's what I don't get, right? So right now I could get on a flight to New York City and sit next to someone right here. They're wearing a mask and I'm wearing a mask. Why are we allowing this in the aviation industry and the sports industry has the same difference? In fact, I'm sitting next to somebody for a less amount of time, all right, watching a football match than I would be, right, flying to New York City.
But, Soph, let me tell you who I feel sorry for even more is the theatre industry. That's who I feel sorry for as well. You're sitting there for an hour and a half.
No, but the point, sorry, I was just getting a light refreshment. The point is that if I can sit on a plane
Because, Soph, you got to think about this. You're just thinking of sitting watching a match, yeah? What you've got to understand is the rules of this country at the moment are social distancing. You can't have thousands of people. Hold on. Wait a second. Not that I agree with it, but this is the rules. You can't have thousands of people turning up to a ground, mingling, trying to get in state. They have to be a minimum of people in, yeah? The ground's still going to look really empty. And you're going to go, why haven't people sat there? Why haven't they there? Because Arsenal are trying to abide by the rules. And the rules are you can't have thousands mingling outside for hours on end anyway. Not that Amanda, it makes any difference, because if you're in a shopping mall, it's the same
Amanda,
thing.
Sophie understands that. But what she's saying is, it's the principle of it.
Correct. Because it's all, I don't want to go into the politics of it all because I'm not
here for
that.
We're talking politics.
I'm really not. Because
it's got nothing to do with politics.
No. But it has, because it's the politics of this country that is stopping doing what we all want to do.
No, it's about logic, okay? And
but there's no logic to any of it. I mean, don't get me started.
People keep saying follow the science, okay? Which is nonsense in itself.
I'm not.
Right? And number two is you can't have one rule for one. A very good friend of this show,
Raj. Of course they can, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Raj, who's in the entertainment industry, right, has got empty concert halls right now.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for him.
Empty, right? Meanwhile, you can fly anywhere in the world.
Of course.
And be within 2 inches of somebody's breath, right? You can hit the streets and say what you want, and rightfully so. People have every right to protest. You can do thousands and thousands of people. But you can't have measured, organized, strategic goals to let fans in to watch.
Well, they are. Oh, that's why we've got the email this week. They are. That's what they're doing. No, 15 to 25%.
They're doing it now. But what we're saying is that at some point, you know, Kirk Cousins, the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, talked this week about, you know what? We got to get back to life. We got to get stuck in. We got to keep doing the things we used to be doing. You know, and he's like, literally at the end of it, he's like, if I die, I die. But you know, that's an extreme kind of comment.
But they are, though. Why are you asking this question? They are other clubs are doing it as well. They're bringing you back.
They
are. In a few months.
In October, right?
It's only like next month. They've got to
organize. No, but there's 11. What Sophie said was, there's 11 games in September.
11.
11.
Well, Arsenal are playing 11 games in September.
No, there's 11 games in September up for broadcast, right, that no fan...
If it takes time, if you knew what we had to jump through,
they've had 6 months.
They've had 6 months of it.
Everyone is losing money.
Right, I understand. Everyone's losing money. The tourism industry, the theatres, the cinemas, everything is. So if we can't go down that road of discussing what whys and wherefores, I don't agree with it either. But what I'm saying is no one even knew when the season was going to start. We only got our fixtures a couple of weeks ago. Give them a chance. It's not the football club's fault. They're governed by the rules of the country, and the rules of the country are from October.
The football club's fault,
no,
Amanda.
But it's not. But I don't really understand where you're going with this. The fact is, I agree with all of you. We should have been in and we should have gone to Wembley. There is no, it's a massive stadium, easily could have socially distanced, easily. But they are bringing us back, Soph, as quick as they can, the football clubs. It's a month.
It's not quick enough. No, it's not. It's not the football clubs. You've just said the football clubs are bringing us back. It's not the football clubs, and this is the whole point.
All right, I missed out a word. The football clubs are bringing us back as quick as they can, after the rules were told to them. That's what I'm trying to say. They can't have us back.
Why is there one rule for the one arena that brings in so much revenue and another rule? This is the point. The problem is there's one rule for one industry and another rule for another industry.
Life, so honestly, you do know that.
Okay, yes, it's life, but my point is...
Do you think if we had a general election now, we wouldn't all be able to vote? Trust me.
I live in a country where a general election's coming up in November.
Sophie, Amanda.
And they'll do what suits them to get everyone to vote.
Sophie, Amanda.
Yes.
Let's just say this. If Brighton could have fans in their stadium in pre-season,
yeah,
why can't the club start the season with the same way the fans are segregated?
Because it takes time to organise.
What are you talking about? It takes time.
That's all I'm saying. Well, so what do you want to do? Turn up to the club and just walk in and pay?
No. The club have got time to organise all that they can organise. Oh, why does it have to be in October? Why can't it be in September?
Because that's the point. Probably why what the government have said can happen.
No, it isn't. Because why did Brighton have fans in then?
Don't you think
Amanda?
The club would get us in as soon as they could? They need the revenue.
So why did Brighton have fans in then?
They had it as a test. They were the test.
So they've tested.
Could we move
get
on?
The fans back in.
No. I agree.
No, because the point is this.
You're not listening to what I agree with all of you. You know that, don't you? I'm not arguing.
You're battling us as well.
You shouldn't be talking to me. You should be talking to your MP about all this. Not your MP, whoever you have over there, Soph. Because the rules are, they do what rules suits them. Anyway.
I actually think that, you know, when everything closed down in March, April,
do you
May,
not think they're making July, it up as they go along?
That's the problem. That's what we're saying. Like, don't do that. Don't make it up for one industry. And then, are you telling me there can't be fans watching the US Open right now in New York? Do you know what they're doing to local businesses?
What is happening around the state?
Hold on one second. Do they have any idea
how the local
businesses are hurting because of these decisions?
Yes. Why are you going at me? I totally agree.
I'm just expressing myself.
Do they have any idea?
Let's move on. This is not a COVID chat. This is moving on to the fact that at least I'm appreciative that I can even go back in October. Okay, I'm appreciative. I know what you're saying. I'd love to be back in for the first match. It's not going to happen.
I went to a game to cover the other day at LA Galaxy, right?
Yeah, but you're press and it's different.
I know, but it was still like, why can't there be fans here? Why can there not be fans here right now? Because look how they did a phenomenal job of taking care of the press and making us feel safe. The way they handled everything was so impressive. I was blown away. But there's no reason, for the same reasons we say in other walks of life where you can carry on, there's no reason whatsoever fans can't go to football games. There just isn't.
But there was no reason at the beginning when you went to supermarkets and everyone was next to you in lockdown. Same thing.
That's been happening the whole time we've been in
since
lockdown.
Since day one. So anyway, I don't want to get into this chat.
Remember, the bear flu is very smart. It won't attack you in the supermarket.
Will you stop? Right, listen. Can we just move on? I've got a few things I want to say. All right, shush you. Now I'm in charge. I'm the host for a few minutes. The Highbury squad has hit over 5,000 followers on Twitter. I'm just over the moon. It's so lovely that everyone decides to follow us, isn't it? It's surprising.
Brilliant. So lovely. Thanks to everybody for listening. And, you know, listening to me and Sophie and then getting it all from Amanda.
Well, listen, I'm me. You don't like it, you can swish off, but I don't care. Right, so our 5,000th follower was a guy called Scott at Ferry Enzo 917. And he asked what he won. You don't win nothing for being our 5,000th follower.
You got a little shout out.
And it's so lovely.
I think you should send him a princess, something princess related.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. I'm just excited that 5,000 people follow our little podcast. And we are very different to everybody else, that's for sure. First of all, most of us are female. Today we got such a lovely tweet. Did you read that tweet from @PaulLoveday? And I was determined to read it out because I always forget things when I read them in the day because I'm busy.
Casey, she's just been waiting to get to this segment the whole time.
No. It's called Any Other Business, isn't it? AOB.
Well done. Tell them who taught you that.
You. Can I just speak? Am I allowed for a minute without being
interrupted? That's all you've been doing. Get on with it.
Oh, love day. Thank you so much for tweeting the Highbury squad, because you sent us the most gorgeous tweet saying we brighten up your day. And due to due to the fact of what you're suffering with, we are so pleased that you enjoy us. It's just so lovely. So thank you so much.
And we read this note out instead of you trying to transcribe it.
You find it on the Highbury squad, because I've got a few other things that I want to say as well. So I try to read every tweet on the Highbury squad. I try to respond. And obviously then Soph comes about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when she's woken up in La La Land. And Kev is our resident guest. He's like our podcast brother. And honestly, I just want to say thank you, because I've done podcasts way before this. I think I've been podding for about 8 years. Isn't that ridiculous? No, it's longer, I think. 9 years? I don't know. But we love Arsenal, and we love the fact that you love us. Now, have you found it, Sophie?
Wow. Yes, I have. And it's from Paul Loveday. Hi there. Hope you're well. Just wanted to say how much I love the Highbury squad, and I cannot wait to see you guys back on my TV screen tonight. I suffer really bad with osteoarthritis, but when I watch you guys, I forget about my pain and just relax and chill.
I'm not being funny. I welled up when I read that. Thank you so much. And we really appreciate, A, that you watch us, B, that you enjoy us, and C, that you tweeted us. So thank you so much, Paul.
Very cool.
And well done for Scott for being 5,000. And also, we have to talk about this. We do. Is anyone watching the comedy on Amazon Prime?
Are we really going to spend
Are
you winding us up right now?
It's so funny.
You've been trying to race through the importance of our Texas strategy, new DNA culture, new players, strategy tactics.
Well, no, won't discuss players to get to this.
We haven't done a podcast for ages. I can't be serious. But, oh, come on. Come on. It is brilliant. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I love the fact that when it was narrated at the beginning, they went, all their history is in the past. End of. That's just it. It's just brilliant.
Jeffrey Werner.
Jeffrey, Audrey, Tracy, Winston, Effie, help us. Help.
Jeffrey knows me very well, so don't worry. Don't we, Jeff?
Here's another one for you.
Tell us something about that show.
Go on. Give us a review. Go on.
Oh, come on. You must have seen it.
I'll never watch it.
From Harry Kane's team chats, which are hilarious.
Okay, those are hilarious.
So, yeah, they are. But Jose Mourinho, actually, it should be called, and I tweeted this, the Jose Mourinho show, because it really is all about that. The fact that win anything.
Do you put your toothpaste after you put it on the toothbrush?
Oh, that was brilliant. That's the bit I'm up to, I think. I was like, okay. Now, I watched All or Nothing with Man City and loved every second of it. I loved it. I thought it was a brilliant show, because obviously Man City are exciting. Anyway.
Listen, let me tell you something. I could not get past the first 20 minutes.
I loved it. I loved it.
To myself, this is exactly why they're embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
No, this is brilliant, because this shows everybody why they're embarrassing. And the fact that me and Carl just sit there, we laugh at some of the comments that the players come out with. And the fact that, yeah, they do need subtitles, Jeffrey, actually. I did ask Carl at one point, I went, what did he say? I don't understand.
So he's the captain of England as well.
Well, the thing is, right, I look at it like this. It's going to get better as it goes on, because we know what happens at the end. And the fact it should be called Nothing. I call it Nothing anyway.
Chat rooms come alive again.
Nothing. One of the guys before put Nothing, absolutely Nothing. I think it was Jeffrey Werner.
It should be called Nothing. I said this the other day.
Absolutely Nothing. Nothing, absolutely Nothing.
We need something to cheer us up in these days, but it is funny.
All right.
I just laugh. Anyway, moving on.
Listen, so it's going to be an interesting season, okay? And
it's going to be strange.
Next week, we're going to have our official kickoff launch for 2020. This is our saying goodbye to whatever this was. Crikey, I've never seen anything like it.
This is ciao.
Ciao to the 2019-2020 season, yes. And we're going into the 2020-2021 season. And dare I say, the hybrid squad may have a bit of a new look. Are we airing? Are we telling it now? Are we doing that?
a new look. Bye, PG. Bye.
Just fired. Fired. Boom! You're out.
No, you can't get rid of it yet. I've not been sold or transferred or anything. No one wants me online.
We can't transfer you. You won't even discuss it.
I'm going to send you on loan to a Burkham Wonderland.
I don't think they want me either. I don't think anyone wants me.
How funny would that be if we loaned it to podcast? How about I loan you to Art Class?
Try and get... You know what you're going to get.
That's the problem. We'll get you back. That's the problem. We'll load you out. You come back.
You'll be like a boomerang.
Exactly. Jeez. Take her back. We don't want her.
Listen, Sophie will be like, true. She's gone.
Archie,
no, she's back again.
She's like Ozil. She's not going anywhere.
I'm not. I'm too expensive to go anywhere. No one wants me. No one even wants me for £1.50. You can't get rid of me. You couldn't even pay someone to have me.
All right. Oh, my God. Amazing. So, look, today's show is just to say hi and reignite the fire and just kind of rave about Arteta and how the fact that we beat Liverpool twice, we beat Chelsea, we beat City, we beat Man United, we ended the season on a high. We won two trophies. Arteta has gone to two finals and won them both. What an incredible building block for him as a manager mentally to know that he's already gone to two finals and he's won them. But he didn't just win them against any two-bit team. He won one against Chelsea and he won one against Liverpool. And I don't care what you say, Liverpool were only shy. Two players. That was Henderson and TAA. Listen, if they could have flown out on a TWA, they would have done it in that game because Arsenal had their number. Aubameyang. When is that signing going to be revealed? When are we going to see the fireworks and the hoopla and everything? That's the one that we all want to see. That's the signing that we all want to hear about. And of course, with the new players coming in, what we've seen with what he's done with average players, what can this man do with really good players? So, like Josh Kroenke said, kids, be excited. Sorry.
I'm beginning not to like Archie. You know what? I'm beginning not to like Archie. I'm not going. I am going to stay here forever until I'm at least 73.
No, okay. You know what? PG, okay, we don't want you going anywhere else.
You would miss me, Kev, wouldn't you? You would.
Of course I would.
You're our Ceballos this season.
You know what I love, Soph? Today, he sends us a calendar invite and then tells us he didn't send us a calendar invite.
No, I didn't send it. I didn't send it.
Well, I've got a calendar invite.
Yeah, because you know why? Because you know what happens? On your phone, let me just educate you. On the phone, when you put in the timing on the calendar, the old one comes up.
So what did you send it to me for?
I didn't send it. Why don't you listen? You're not listening. The old one comes up, so when I save it, it sends it out because you're invitees.
Yes.
That's why.
So
take it back. Take it back.
No, because I don't believe you. Anyway, moving on.
Be grateful that you're on Casey's list, right?
I am on his list.
Can we get rid of her now?
No, I'm doing another deal.
Forget the loan deal, Casey. I'm ready for Bellerin money. I'm ready for...
Try and sell me for £2.50. Good luck.
Listen, if I could get 35 mil for you, Casey and I will be in the Bahamas. Like, you know, the end of Trading Places?
Oh, yeah.
Feeling good, Winthorpe, you know, that whole scene? That would be me and Casey. Woo!
Well, I want to say on a positive note, I could be back at the Emirates next month. I could. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Okay, so we're going to launch our brand new season for 2020-21 next week once we all figure out our diaries. We will be coming to you with a more, regular date for our podcast. We understand that, listen, when you're three very busy people like we are, it's hard to say every Tuesday, every Monday or whatever, but we're going to do our best to come at you on a particular date that suits best. We have a new sponsor for next year, which we're really super excited about. And you'll be seeing a lot more of us. Listen, we're millennials, these YouTube kids. I mean, we're Twitter people.
I still don't know what millennial means.
This is why 2 years technology lessons. I mean, come on.
All right. Sophie, we'll take 150. We'll take 150.
Right, listen, this can't happen. I bet no one's washing anymore. I bet even our mate's gone.
This should be our track.
I think I said that right. I can't even say Bamiyang still. Anyway, listen, go on.
If we were going to do a trailer for the new season to let people know kind of what our podcast is about, it would be the last 2 minutes. It would be the last 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And then we're going to have little segments. We're going to break out to Casey's going to have his own segment. Amanda's going to have her segment. We're going to do a little few daily bites and stuff like that. So you'll be hearing more of us as the season goes on as well. So we're really super excited about bringing
Why don't we ask the followers what they'd like from us? Probably would be me to be quiet.
Well, there you go. Here's your note from Akinkubi, who said you can call him Effie, remember?
I'm not a millennial then, because I was born in 1969.
Dude, you're a baby boomer. What is wrong with you?
Oh, I thought you said I was a millennial.
No,
you're not a millennial.
See, she don't have the capacity to listen this. God.
Oh, no, right. This is good.
Pan shop, we'll take a pan for a pan shop.
The basement one, Casey, when you're on your way out at the till, and yeah, they're like,
with the bubble gums and all that.
I'm going downstairs to ask why I'm not a millennial.
Tracy, is Amanda a baby boomer or a Generation Xer? Please help answer the question.
No, Tracy says I'm not a baby boomer either.
I could tell you what you are, Amanda. I could tell you what you are.
A pain in the
in the Aris. That's what you
are. Aris. Kids won't know what you even mean by that.
No, that's good. But you know. That's right.
Listen, we air our dirty laundry in public.
Because
so
I'm
you
up.
Guys know. There's no hiding, and then once Amanda goes on.
I was born in the summer of 69, and there was even a song about me. That's all I'm saying.
All about you, PG. All about you, darling.
Well,
I'm a Gen. What's a Gen?
Generation X.
Generation X. Gen X.
Yeah.
Gen X. Oh, I like that. Well, I feel like I'm like on the Matrix. I'm a Gen X.
Ooh. Oh my God, I'm so. Wait till you hear from me on WhatsApp after this recording's over.
Okay. I'm going.
The good news is people are loving it.
Odelay thinks that, you know, we want this good mood. We've never this happy. We haven't been this happy for ages. So do not knock it.
Well, we've been happy 3 times this season.
Yeah, right, well, let's hope it's 33 times, though.
So, well, that would be good. Listen, it's going to be tough. We're not going to go into all of that until next week, okay?
Yeah. Have we got a song for Mikel Arteta? We need a song for Mikel Arteta.
Let's go into that next week. Let's talk about that next week. Let's end this show because
Let's
you know what?
Show.
I've had enough of her. I've had enough.
And well, at least someone loves her. Okay.
He loves me. I love you. I forgot not to say your name again. Oh, my God. How did he say that we should say it?
Effie.
Oh, Effie, you're my favourite. I think it's brilliant. You all need your head. Oh, Gen X. I'm a Gen X. Look.
The fact that you didn't know this yet, right, as I said, wait till you hear from me after on WhatsApp.
Oh, I've got things
I'm going to get your lines.
I'm going off WhatsApp.
Right.
I'm going to get told off.
65 to 80.
I'm the oldest in this podcast, and I have no respect. You don't respect me like you respect Mikel Arteta, do you?
No.
Right, shall we end it? Because it's not fair on people that are going to watch this and go. They've probably stopped this 10 minutes before anyway.
We're waiting for your end.
Waiting for your end so we can end the show.
Oh, hold on. Always Arsenal.
Very soap opera. I love it.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.